Hour number two of Overtime Fan Run Radio, presented by my friend Julia Hurley with Realty Executives. Give her a call today at 865-237-7328. We're going to go back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Zach is next. What do you say, Zach?
What do you say, Jay?
Living the dream.
How are you boys doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Got a quick question. Is there any update on that recruit that we were recruiting, Boo something?
Boo Carter.
Boo Carter, yeah. That's it.
I don't know. I would assume that we're in the front seat because everything I saw during the year when he's taking all his visits were all to us. So,
gotcha. Because here's my fear with the Vol for Lifers. That's going to get really confusing with a Brew and a Boo.
Oh, they're not going to know what to do.
One of my favorite moments, guys, is in the sixth game in, and somebody says, why are they brewing poor Brew in Neyland Stadium?
I mean, we did the same thing. You guys remember David Okoo that played and was recruited by Lane Kiffin. His freshman year was Lane's only year on Rocky Top. And every time he'd do something, I've already forgot his name, Bobby Denton would say, David Okoo, and everyone, ooh, just keep it going. And I think I was a freshman in high school, and it took me like two or three times after they did it at the Western Kentucky game, but I figured it out pretty quick. But, yeah, some people probably never caught on to that either.
Well, Jake, I'm not the smartest guy in the toolbox or the sharpest tool in the shed, but, I mean, I knew the first game why we do it for Brew McCoy.
I mean, yeah.
It's kind of, you know, common sense. So, you know, looking back at the season, I got to say, I got to travel to five games this year. You know, I'm trying to put that South Carolina one out of my head, even though that's always going to be in the back of my mind, you know, and I've kind of moved on with time. It's kind of worked, but I look at the joys of the season. I'll never forget, you know, where I was after we beat Alabama and, you know, to have that memory when Jalen Hyatt, when he was interviewed, I just never will forget that. He said, it's been a while since we beat him. Football's back, Ball Nation's back, and we just showed the whole world. And you can't take that back from me. You can't take back, you know, those mouth breathers from Kentucky thinking that they were going to come in here and beat us, and we beat them down. You can't take away the memory at LSU. I know a lot of the rankings is taking that away from us right now, the memories that we had, you know, them kind of trying to crap on us and putting us in the position we are. But, you know, quite honestly, if you don't lose to South Carolina, we're not even talking about this.
No, I agree 100%, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up. You know, no one's ever going to be able to take away the emotion, the feeling that everyone had after the Alabama game when Chase McGrath nailed that kick. It was the ugliest but most beautiful kick at the same time. And it's kind of like Louisville basketball when they got their national championship stripped away from 2012, 2013, and yeah, they took away their championship. Guess what? You can never take away that moment from that team. You can never take away that moment from those fans, because regardless of how bad everything was off the court, they still won a championship.
Right. And, you know, you guys look at it, people are complaining and getting upset, which I don't, because these kids need to make business decisions. And if I were a kid and I had talent and I wasn't getting playing time and there was another school, or who knows, maybe our coaches told some of our players, look, you know, you want to play, here's my suggestion. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Everybody that gets all upset that we have some players leaving, it's going to happen at every school. There's going to be a massive exodus of the transfer portal. But I will say, what's interesting about Alabama, are they going to be able to stack all those five stars? You know how they would have like a defensive lineman or offensive lineman get hurt? Well, they had four or five stars behind them before this transfer rule. Is that going to hurt these new rules? Are they going to hurt programs like Alabama where they can't? Because I imagine if you're a good offensive lineman, you're not just going to sit there in third string and wait for somebody to get some playing time at Alabama, I would assume.
Well, I mean, that's the thing with the new transfer portal and, you know, with NIL coming around, is the fact that it almost does level the playing field for a team that has the resources to get back to where it was. You know, Tennessee, obviously, we've got the resources and we're starting to get the talent in to where we can compete. And, you know, like we saw this year, we can beat Alabama. You know, we can beat the Floridas of the world. And, you know, LSU, I mean, you got to take into account, man, one of the guys or one of the teams that's going to the SEC championship, we throttled them at their place and took over their stadium.
Yeah. And, well, let me ask you guys this. How's Georgia been able to do it? Because it seems like if they – that's the one program I can't – I'm scratching my head at. Well, how are they able to replace guys? You know, I would have figured they would have – I predicted them to lose a game this year just because of the how much they lost to the NFL. How are they able to replace that? What's got that incentive for them? Well, they just have so many down there?
I mean, the thing is, it's like, you know, Georgia is a hotbed for talent. That's the one thing that they have to their advantage. But one of the things that Kirby Smart did was he started playing the game that he saw at Alabama. And we know that Nick Saban is not getting players the right way. He never has got players the right way. And Mark Richt ran a clean program at Georgia. I think, you know, everybody for the most part believes that. When he left, after he won 10 games, or he got fired, but, you know, his final season, they won 10 games. And then Kirby Smart comes in. I think he went 6-6, 7-5 the next year. But then they were on the mountaintop. And that was the one thing that Kirby was able to do is he took what he learned at Alabama, how to recruit there. He took that over to Georgia, and then he took him to the mountaintop with it. Because Mark Richt had a good program.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing is Georgia's been consistently good, you know, from the turn of the century when Mark Richt took over. And he couldn't get him over the hump, and he wasn't willing to play dirty. And then Kirby, they got somebody that was willing to play dirty and took him to the mountaintop.
Yeah, like Jay just said, all the morals and ethics just went out the window when Kirby got the job. And it's kind of scary to think about because Kirby's not even 50 years old yet, so they might have a dynasty brewing down there.
Which is going to suck because I live right in Atlanta, and it's hard. Because these Georgia fans, they don't know nothing about football. I mean, the SEC country, one of them said, why are these trailer park fans smoking cigars after one regular season game?
Because they know nothing about football.
Exactly. It's like, you guys know nothing about football. And quite honestly, I mean, I try to call balls and strikes. I do. In that championship game, if Alabama hadn't lost all their receivers, was Georgia going to win that game?
No.
I don't know.
No.
So, I mean, not that I'm sitting here flagging for Alabama by any means, but I'm just trying to call it straight down the line. They act like they're a dynasty already. They've actually got to put together some wins. Are you guys, and I'll leave you with, are you guys, you're not all SEC homers, are you?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because the reason I'm like that, Zach, is because you have everybody, you know, growing up, it was like, well, you need to root for the SEC because you want to keep the SEC streak going. And my cop-out to that was always, well, what does that do for Tennessee? How does that help us in recruiting? It doesn't when you're having to play teams like Alabama, Florida, Georgia every year. You want them to do well. That way they draw in more recruits that we can go after. That's what you want. You want Tennessee to fall behind because you want some petty conference winning streak for a national championship to keep going. Like, that was my thought process behind it. It's like, it doesn't benefit us if other teams in the SEC do well. And it's like, I'm not wishing that, you know, everyone goes out and everybody gets their ACLs harvested. But, I mean, at the same time, we want to win too. And the only way we win is by seeing some of the decline of these other programs. That's how it happens.
Absolutely. And to your point, and then I'll jump off here. But the playoff committee is sending the wrong message, guys. And here's the reason that even more you shouldn't root for the SEC when they play different teams is because the playoff committee is saying go schedule a cupcake schedule, play one hard game all year, and maybe, you know, if you're a media darling, we'll love your program and we'll vote to put you in no matter what. The playoff committee, it's not even following its own rules. You might as well go schedule a bunch of cream puffs and do that. You know, I was so upset because we bought out of the Army game. Might have been a good idea. So anyway, looking forward to your 7:30 segment. You guys have a good show. Take care.
Appreciate the call, Zach. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio. Poor Bill Walton. I can't believe we didn't bring that up when it happened.
He's an odd dude.
He's very odd.
Did y'all see when they brought him the cake?
Yeah, and he ate the cupcake on fire when it was on fire.
Yes.
Yep.
He's a strange dude.
He's always been strange.
They do not. What happened to, I think it's Dave Pash is the guy who does it with him. I've not seen him this year with him.
Hmm. They used to all like the West Coast games, didn't they?
Yeah, well, they at the Phil Knight Classic, they were not paired together, so I don't know what's going on with that.
If you want entertaining basketball right now, this Texas and Creighton game is off to a great start.
Very high level.
That's the first missed shot I've seen from both teams in the last, like, 8 minutes.
Golly. It's now 15-16, 8 minutes into the game, and Tennessee would be lucky to get 16 by this point.
Timmy Allen, where did he play at before?
God, he's been there forever. Texas Tech.
That's what, yeah. Okay,
went with Chris Beard to Texas.
Very entertaining basketball. Mm-hmm. I love a good entertaining basketball game.
High-level basketball is great to watch.
Would you consider Chris Beard a top five coach in college basketball right now?
After what he did at Texas last year?
Yes. Well, and Texas Tech. I would.
I really like what he's done.
Chris Beard, I would say Jay Wright, but he's retired now.
Yep.
It's like, let's get through this season. I'll tell you who my top five coaches are.
Scott Drew is in there for me at Baylor.
Yes. I mean, you have to put the guy at Houston.
Kevin Sampson. Yeah. Kelvin Sampson.
Yep.
You know the one coaching position in the SEC that just doesn't make sense to why he can't win?
It's Vanderbilt.
Kermit Davis. Ole Miss.
Why? That's a terrible I don't know. You get all Memphis recruits hour up the road.
Which thing is, like, of course – you know, I got to know him on a personal level at MTSU, and kids there loved him. I mean, he had a little bit of success in MTSU.
I think the kids at Ole Miss love him, too.
I'm just kind of shocked he's still there, because I thought he would for sure have been fired after last year, because they're kind of stalling. They're not going anywhere.
I mean, he would have been better off staying at MTSU, but, I mean, I wanted out of Murfreesboro. I can see why he did, too. But – now that program at MTSU, it's a night and day program. One of the players that was in my fraternity that was on the team for both coaching or for the coaching change, he was not having it with their new coach. I don't even know who he is.
I've not heard of MTSU basketball since Kermit left. I would kind of consider
they went like 5-20 the next year.
Yeah, I would kind of consider as a good comparison, MTSU and FAU in football,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of good mid-major jobs that you can springboard into better jobs.
And they were really good at the time, and around that same time
frame.
It's
like today, you know, FAU hired Tom Herman, which is pretty surprising because I figured he'd hold out for a better job. But I guess he just wants to get back in coaching. If you can do good there, you can go to a bigger school like Lane did.
And, of course, some news dropping today, Jamie Chadwell likely to become the new coach at Liberty.
So weird.
I mean, the thing with Jamie is the fact that he is living everywhere where he and I are from. He's living the dream right now. He's living in Myrtle Beach, getting paid $1 million a year to coach football, and he goes home and he's on the beach.
Yeah, I would kind of consider that a lateral move at best, would you not?
I mean, Liberty's still independent.
Yeah, they're not even in a conference because they play random. Like, they play New Mexico State to finish the year.
Which, by the way, the money line on Liberty for that game was -3,000.
Yeah, and they got their doors blown off.
What was the final score, like 42-7?
49-14, I think.
Yeah.
Hugh Freeze must have told him before the game he's leaving.
I mean, that had been the mood for that because, I mean, they just came out. They were flat-footed. They did not care about what was going on, and it's going to be interesting to see because I would expect Caden Salter to enter the transfer portal, maybe follow him
you think?
To Auburn.
I was thinking about that, but Robbie Ashford is I don't know. It's interesting because I would take Caden Salter and bring him with me, but Robbie Ashford is already there, and it kind of seems like he's the starter. So I don't know. It's interesting. So we'll see.
Speaking of interesting stuff, your all's Memphis Grizzlies, our Memphis Grizzlies. Say you're all because you all are from there. Want to talk about a little basketball with us, Davis, Matthew?
Sure. What's there to talk about?
mediocre basketball being played. You have Dylan Brooks, who thinks he's Michael Jordan personified in this era.
Thinks he's him.
And he's not.
I'm not a Dylan Brooks fan.
So you've got three guys. Well, yeah, you've got three guys that have not played a single second this year. You got Tillman, Danny Green, and
Zaire,
who've not played a single second. You could package that for an actual player, but you refuse to. Everybody acts like Kleiman's a god, but he's not.
Ja Morant wants to get ejected.
Ja's a highlight merchant, a clock merchant. Not even remotely close to the same level as Jason Tatum or Luka Doncic. So,
nope. I don't want to hear Ja in the MVP race. I don't want to hear these Grizzlies fans saying that Jaren Jackson's going to change the season. He's not.
Tatum is going to win MVP this year, yep. Unless he gets hurt for some reason.
I mean, if he doesn't win it, it's going to be Luka.
It's either Tatum or Luka. Yeah. They're not going to give it to Giannis. They're trying to find somebody else to pass that MVP torch to.
I don't watch the Grizzlies games anymore because
so frustrating,
it's
man.
So frustrating.
It pisses me off. We're down 2 points, 3 minutes left. I was studying. I turned it on and I ended up throwing my phone across the room in about 90 seconds. So
I mean, it's just bad basketball. I mean, last year's team had depth. We had actual players. We had D'Anthony Melton. We had Kyle Anderson, and we let them both walk for nothing.
A bag of chips and a used Tide Pod.
And, I mean, we're playing these rookies.
A used Tide Pod? Yep.
Yes. We're playing these rookies like they're going to make a difference in the long run. When you know in the playoffs it's a, what, 7 to 8-man rotation?
Yeah, well, essentially you skinned your rotation down to just your playoff rotation, but in the regular season that adds up because you're going to have injuries and, I mean, you've got to have people to fill in during the regular season because it doesn't matter if you – bro, you can't do anything in the postseason if you're out of the damn playoffs.
Yep. I mean, Desmond Bane's injured right now, and you can make an argument that he's our best player.
I was going to say, you know, with the numbers he puts up, I mean, that's somebody I want on the floor at all times.
At all times.
Yeah.
He's a very, I don't know. He should be an all-star this year if he comes back off the injury, but he's very comparable to Tyreek Key for your Tennessee Volunteers.
I mean, he just...
Very, very similar.
I mean, people would say the injuries and whatnot. I mean, your starting lineup would just be Ja, Desmond, Dylan Brooks, Jaren,
Steven
and
Adams.
Steven Adams.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's just mediocre basketball being played, and I mean, it sucks to watch because, you know, we all want the Grizzlies to do well, but I mean, if you're not going to make a push at Jordan Clarkson... You could have gotten mm-hmm.
Bobby Portis.
Could have got
Joe Ingles. You could have got Bogdan. You could have had.
Yeah, I mean, you keep Kyle Anderson. You keep D'Anthony Melton. I mean, last year's team, that was the time.
Yeah,
that was the shot at getting the championship.
And you have one more year until Ja's contract extension kicks in. So you have all the cap space in the world right now, and you refuse to do anything about it. But the team who's built the best out of anyone in the NBA, and I don't see anyone stopping them, is the Boston Celtics.
Boston Celtics.
They're winning the finals this year. I said it now on December the 1st. They will win the finals in June.
And it's just so weird. Like, Boston, obviously, one of the original franchises in the NBA, they have been able to maintain, for the most part, a level of basketball excellence for such a long time. Yeah, they've had down years. I was a Celtics fan during the Antoine Walker years.
Yeah, they had a couple of down years in the 90s, but that was because it was post-Bird and everything. But, I mean...
Well, Larry Bird's career ended unexpectedly.
Yeah, because
it was
back, yeah.
And I mean, me and producer Matthew's lifetime, you know, they had the big three with, you could argue, big four, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, KG, Rondo.
It was a big four.
After that, you know, they just had one kind of bad year. Then they got Isaiah Thomas, and they were right back in the playoffs. So.
And then you get Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. I mean, mm-hmm. Look at the team today. I mean, this year, man. Malcolm Brogdon, Marcus Smart, Tatum, Brown, Al Horford.
Rob Williams hasn't even come back yet.
Yeah, he hasn't even come back off his injury.
Danilo Gallinari will come back.
Yeah, too. I mean, this team is absolutely scary. I think the Phoenix Suns said that, Chris Paul said that he never wanted to miss the finals because he never wanted to lose that taste in his mouth again. But I think the Celtics are going to make a mean push at the finals this year because they got there, they couldn't get it done. I think they get it done.
Well, and something I wanted to bring up to you guys, and I want to get your all's take because it's kind of the same way with the Tennessee Titans. Not a lot of people in Tennessee were born when the Titans moved to Tennessee. Like, I've been on this earth longer than the Titans have been in Tennessee. I remember when the Grizzlies originally came to Memphis from Vancouver.
Right.
And from there, like, it was a slow buy-in for me, I guess, but eventually, you know, eventually bought in.
What year did the Titans come here?
97? 6 or 7.
And the Grizzlies came in
2002.
And they played at the Liberty Bowl, right, while Nissan Stadium was being built?
They played at the Liberty Bowl, and they played at Dudley Field.
Dudley Field. Now Vanderbilt?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now First Bank Stadium that mm-hmm. we own.
We do own it.
Imagine how full that would have been, full of orange, if we had just beaten South Carolina. It would literally be probably 100%.
I mean, it was more of a home game for us to begin with. I mean, if you beat South Carolina, the entire place is orange, and there's not that empty pocket up in the northeast corner.
Well, that was the student section's pocket.
By the way.
That's why it was empty. It wasn't because of unsold tickets. It was because they were in their dorms cramming their faces and laptops on a Saturday night.
Education more important than football. Yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, I paid the price for not studying that night, but it was worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you look at Alabama. They put football first, and their education is going up because of it.
That's the thing, man. You've got people on campus right now like Dondi, and she just tries to cram academics down your throat. But the thing is, man, she tries to put it above football sometimes, but if you just put football first, it's all going to fall in place. Like, Alabama's put football first ever since Nick Saban got there, and their academics have gone way up because of the amount of people who want to enroll because the football team's good. They see Alabama on TV every single year hoisting up a national championship. That's the reason people want to apply. Just same thing with Tennessee. You get Tennessee football good again, people will come.
Here's a stat for you.
What you got?
We had the amount of applicants last year. I heard this stat. From last year, full year, we've already doubled the number of applicants applying to Tennessee.
Because football is good.
In yes. the first 6 months.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
That's what people did, like, back in the early 2000s, the late 90s. I know a few people that did this. Obviously, they're a little bit older than I am. But they would go to Tennessee to fail out their first year. That way, they'd get a football season in and then go back to the community college, whether it be Pellissippi or own state, for 2 years. Get everything out of the way there, come back to Tennessee, and then enjoy the rest of it.
And then try, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I think my freshman year we had 4,000 people come in. Last year we had 6,500.
Yeah. And our freshman year was Pruitt's second year. Started off with a bang, the loss to Georgia State and BYU.
I lost to Georgia State, but I like French fries. Stay with us. New segment coming up. We're going to dive into Vol for Life Facebook. It's promised on VR. I will deliver. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
Pride of the Southland band playing Rocky Top. Smokey leading our boys out through the tee. Makes a hair on the back of my neck stand up. They hit the field line up for the kickoff. It's football.
Fan Run Radio, overtime continues. It is time to go down the rabbit hole of the Vol for Life Facebook. Hey, Ohio State, go to the Rose Bowl. We want to go to the Orange Bowl, not the Cotton Bowl. So far, the Vols are going to the Cotton, Orange, Sugar and Music City Bowls. Do we have enough players to play in all those places?
Cringe.
Go vote for Hendon Hooker for Heisman. Someone needs to tell them that their vote on a computer does not matter.
Does not count.
Does not count.
I got to give props to this dude, Scotty, right here. He said, man, the Vols can't hit the solar system. Field goal percentage, 34.6. 3-point percentage, 25%. Free throw percentage, 50%. Guy that immediately comments, stop. Anyone think the College Football Playoff Committee may flop UT and Alabama in the final ranking because of all the buzz and backlash they received over the rankings?
No.
Other sports markets seem to be upset over it, too. Person replied, We did this today ourselves by letting South Carolina beat us. Now you all want the committee to look over our lost.
Nice. With a T?
Yes.
Yes. It's our own fault. Dear Joe Milton, please don't listen to all these negative people. We are so proud of how far you've come, and we can't wait to see what you do next year. Orange heart, white heart, orange heart, white heart.
That was not bad.
The reply under it is what gets me. I'm willing to bet the majority of people who are negative about Milton are trolls that they're trying to get in his head. Go Vols! Go team!
Yeah, that's it. Fans are trying to get in our starting quarterback's head.
Yep, that's it.
I'd love for our Vols to be matched up with Bama in a bowl game and beat the brakes off them. not brakes like a car brake. Brakes as in...
Break, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
B-R-E-A-K.
Guy replies, people, please, there's no SEC versus SEC bowl games unless it's in the college football playoff. Thank God somebody has some sense. Oh, man. It just keeps getting better and better. Finally, how does LSU get into play Georgia in the SEC championship? I just saw this on the ESPN app. Well, there's these things called divisions.
Divisions. Wow.
And it divides the conference into two divisions. And the winner of each division goes to Atlanta. That's how that works.
You said divisions, right?
Yes.
There's two of them, correct?
Two.
There's an East and a West. LSU resides in the West.
Oh.
Georgia resides in the East.
I thought you said West.
Two divisions, right? Just making sure I get this correct.
Yes, two divisions.
Yeah.
Two divisions. Style points. We got your damn style points. Now give us our respect on Tuesday and rank us over LSU in Bama. Go Vols. FYI, we should not be ranked behind a team we beat. 100.
Did he say LSU in Bama?
Yes.
In Bama.
In.
And he just left out the A. Just.
And the D.
Well, what's wrong with that? I agree with him. We should be ranked above Alabama.
Give us our damn respect.
Exactly. Agree with whoever that is.
Does anyone know when the athletic department yard sale is this year?
It's called the Vol Shop. Let's go there, man.
It's called Alumni Hall. It's called whatever the other place is called.
So here's the one that gets me. And I hate, like, I despise when this stuff gets brought up. Hendon Hooker's odds of being in the NFL in next 3 years, sadly, is not great. NFL offensive system. I have a funny feeling he will be back on UT sidelines as a coach in the near future. Do you know how many times when I was growing up that I heard Peyton Manning's going to come back to coach at UT? He's basically coaching the Colts and the Broncos, and I guarantee you he's coaching them boys when he's over there for the games. He's the reason they're winning. Needless to say, they did not take into account the fact that every game that Peyton Manning was at, we lost.
You know, I wouldn't hate that, though. Hooker coming back.
I wouldn't hate it, but something that everybody needs to count, and Hendon Hooker might do well.
Yeah, chase your career, though.
Yeah.
Get that pension.
Don't just give up.
Yeah, at least hang around for 4 years. Get that pension. This brings me to a really good point. Just because somebody was a great player does not mean that they will be a great coach.
Mm-hmm. Look at Michael Jordan. Terrible GM. Great player.
Isaiah Thomas.
Bill Russell.
Terrible coach.
Bill Russell and Willis Reed were head coaches at Sacramento Kings when Kenny Smith was there. They won.
Bill Russell was a player coach at one point.
Yes, he was.
Patrick Chewing.
Yes.
Great player.
Great
terrible
player.
Coach.
Terrible coach.
There's been a few like that. I guess the ones that really succeeded, Steve Nash just got fired.
I mean, Phil Jackson wasn't a great player, but he was a great coach.
Exactly. Because he studied the game, he knew the game, much like Steve Kerr.
I would argue Steve Nash got the shaft too early.
He probably did.
He did.
But, you know.
I mean, there's so many players that want to be coaches because they want to stay in the game. Penny Hardaway, another example.
A great recruiter.
He's a great recruiter, but.
Great recruiter, great high school coach, terrible college coach.
Jerry Stackhouse is another one.
He lost his cool last night.
I saw that.
Oh, he's the reason they covered, or VCU covered the spread.
I saw that.
Big and bad, trying to beat a referee's ass.
It's a really bad look when a cop has to escort you out.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, that's not good at all.
I think he knows.
Like, it's one thing for the athletic director to come get you, but it's another thing.
For the cop.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, I'd rather be escorted out by the cop, because the ADS has escorted you out, you're probably fired.
Not necessarily.
Is there a situation in which a AD has grabbed a coach off the floor and not fired him?
Bobby Knight.
Yeah, I was going to say Bobby
okay,
Knight.
Okay, that's different.
When he threw a chair.
Bobby Knight and Jerry Stackhouse. Bobby Knight with half his brain would out-coach Jerry Stackhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is he doing now?
Oh, another one. Coaches good? And their sons. And their sons want to be coaches.
Luke Walton.
Yep, Luke Walton. Yep.
Pat Knight.
Yeah.
Who's the Wes Unseld. Well, I guess not his son. He's a former player, though. Terrible coach.
Yep.
There's a lot of those out there.
Yep. I mean, Jason Kidd, but he has a Luka, so, I mean, is he really coaching?
I mean, let's be who's really coaching in the NBA now?
Well, Popovich, they're terrible. I would argue that Taylor Jenkins is coaching, but not too well right now.
Eric Spoelstra.
That's a name. Eric Spoelstra. Is he going to go down as one of the best coaches ever?
Not ever, but he's a
not
yeah, ever. The Hall of
this
Fame.
Era.
Yeah, he'll go to the Hall of Fame for sure.
Yeah, of this era, yes. Yeah, he's one of the best coaches in this era, but he won't go down because they'll say Phil Jackson, they'll say Popovich, they'll say
They'll probably say
Pat Riley.
Yeah,
Pat Riley. I mean,
they'll say Larry Brown,
Doc Rivers, even though that's not correct.
Yep.
Speaking of Larry Brown, is he still at Memphis?
No, he's he's quote unquote health issues. And otherwise.
So then he brought in Rasheed Wallace?
Rasheed's not there anymore.
Rasheed's not there. Mike Miller's not there. Larry Brown's not there. No one's there on that staff.
Yeah. Rasheed tried to, last year, tried to coach the team through Zoom. I'm not making this up.
Yep.
Wait, so this is what's going on in the Memphis basketball program?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Rasheed Wallace was trying to coach him through Zoom. I think Larry Brown has now downgraded himself to an analyst. So. I think he's kind of fed up with it. I mean, why drag him through the mud?
He's trying to run that program like an AAU program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you can't do that.
No.
Pretty good source confirmed. But they're saying that Larry Brown, he actually knows what he's talking about, obviously.
Well, yeah. Yes. But he coached for several years.
But during
won championships.
But during practices, he would tell the kids what to do. But it would just never get through to them, and then Penny would tell them another thing. So, Larry Brown would talk. They're doing drills or whatever. Larry Brown would pull someone aside, tell him, hey, do this, do that. And then Penny would be like, Penny would pull the kid aside, and he'd be like, no, do this, do that.
So then what's the point in even having Larry Brown there?
Exactly, if you're not going
to
listen to him.
In Penny's case, there's no point in having an assistant coach, because if you're just going to be
running it like an AAU program.
Yeah, the guy that's be-all, say-all, you're not going to have any input. You have just yes-men. Might as well just get Penny a bunch of yes-men around them.
Well, he already does. No one in Memphis tells Penny no, except
have they ever?
A physical therapist that I know did one time when he was late to his appointment. And that really made him mad.
Yep.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
Quick question. Who was the guy that used to commentate for the NBA? He was old. He used to do it with Mike Tirico.
Hubie Brown.
That's who I'm thinking of. Okay.
He's still alive.
Yeah, he coached the NBA, though, didn't he?
Yep. Coached the Grizzlies.
Yep. Phil Collins, or whoever the Bulls coach was when joined in his early years. Yeah, Phil Collins. Oh, Doug Collins.
Doug Collins.
Doug Collins, yeah.
Phil Collins.
Same thing.
Phil singer. Collins is a singer, yeah.
Yeah.
But nah, yeah.
Feel it coming in the air tonight.
What was I about to say about Penny?
Mid.
No, it's... Gosh, what was I thinking of? My brain's fried, man. Finally completed the week through week of hell.
Talking about the boosters?
No, not the boo. I'm not saying that on air. Well, you've kind of already put it out there.
Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. Welcome Final segment of overtime here on Fan Run Radio. Texas leads Creighton 32-27 at halftime. Man, what a game.
It's a great game.
Really good game to watch.
High level of basketball.
I was about to say that, yeah. Very high level of basketball being played right now. I would not want to see either of these teams right now.
Well, the thing is, like, don't we have Texas coming up on schedule?
I'm not sure about that one. I know we play – well, we play –
we got Arizona.
Maryland. Yeah, it's Maryland and that
– that's who it is.
Brooklyn tournament. Mm-hmm. And then it's Arizona after that, so back-to-back. So that's a tough schedule.
It's going to be an interesting one to – interesting one to watch when the time comes. Let's check in on our round robin so far. Connecticut, I took them at minus 8.5. They are up by 20 points right now to start the second half. Good for me. I took Texas minus 6.5. They're up by 5 at the half. And we wait for everything else. Hip, hip, hooray.
Yeah, UConn, kind of surprising this year.
Very surprising, honestly.
Their sleeper pick is what they are.
I mean, they haven't been good for a minute now.
Is their coach still Bobby Hurley or what was his name?
Yeah, I think it is. Hurley?
Because after they got in trouble, man, they just depleted.
Well, they had
– played that whole team.
Coach – or Kevin Ollie was their coach.
Yeah, when they won the championship.
When they won the national championship and then – the women's won the same time. It's Dan Hurley.
Yeah.
That's who it is.
Yeah, Dan Hurley, yep. Who's Bobby Hurley?
Played for Bobby Knight.
Okay.
Bobby Hurley.
Indiana.
I don't know. It's before my time.
Really before mine. Oh, man.
Bobby Hurley played at Duke.
I've got 10 minutes of content to fill.
Oh. Bobby Hurley coaches at Arizona State. That's why I know that
name. Okay. Yeah. Oh, this is a game.
UConn up 51-35 with 18 minutes left in the second half. Surprisingly good.
Speaking of, forgot who it was that said it, but talking about the Bama just stacking them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Trayshawn Holden and Christian Leary, both four-star recruits, entered the portal yesterday, so. I don't know. Maybe it's shifting a little bit. I think it's shifting to Georgia, the power, but I don't know. Time will tell.
Time will tell. That's the only thing that you're going to have to use to figure it out. I mean, we don't know what these guys are going to do until we see them in the future.
I mean, I would rather them both suck, but that's not going to happen. But I guess it really doesn't affect us because we play both of them every single year,
mm-hmm.
us and Auburn. The only two teams in the country.
For now.
Hopefully in our pod we'll be assigned neither of them, although that probably won't happen.
You ever notice Tennessee and Auburn really got the crappy end of those draws?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're like mirror images of each other almost.
They really are. Auburn, unstable football program. The thing is they have a national championship. They went to another one.
I mean, they rehired our old basketball coach.
Yeah, now you got Hugh Freeze and Buck Pearl.
They would have hired Lane. It would have been the exact.
It would have been 2009.
Reflection. Yes, yeah. Exact.
You know.
That was such a fun time in Knoxville. I know he only won 7 games that year, but that was such a fun season.
I just remember that story about Coach O throwing the projector against the wall and telling him to leave. We're not going home till Sunday because we're going to hit all their bars and eat all their ribs or something. Know what he said?
Go eat all of Dreamland's ribs and crash their bars.
Yeah. And we were one kick away.
And then Monty Kiffin, 75 years old, just takes a chair and slings it.
That's who you want to play for.
Have you all ever heard the story of the night that Lane Kiffin wrecked his Lexus?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very familiar.
Oh, yeah.
And how we assume that it was Ed Orgeron that went to pick him up.
Oh, yeah. I'm very familiar with the story.
Who was it, if it wasn't Coach O?
Who knows?
I think it was Coach O.
He just wakes him up in the middle of the night. Coach, oh, damn, Lane, what the hell happened? Coach, I wrecked my car. Oh, damn, Lane, where you at? Where you at, Lane? I'll come get you. I'll come get you real quick. Where you at? John Probst, a former Tennessee linebacker, played under Derek Dooley, was recruited by Coach O, Coach Kiffin. He went to one of the practices, and the way he put it, orange equals Gatorade, white equals water. Right?
Right.
Looks at the trainer. Trainer, give me the orange. Takes a drink of the Gatorade. All right, trainer, give me the white. Trainer accidentally hands him a Gatorade, unscrews the thing, just dumps it all over himself. Oh, you bleepity bleep.
Character. I wonder if he'll get a coaching job again.
Oh, he's done.
I would play for Coach O.
Well, you think he's done? I would play. Yeah, I would play for Coach O.
I would
also
play for Coach O in a heartbeat.
I mean, I might be able to buy me a hamburger every once in a while.
I mean, hey, you know what he said. Where do I sign?
I mean, he's
what time you want me to leave? Which door you want me to walk out of?
He's living down on 30A. I'm pretty sure in Rosemary. Just having the time of his life with the co-ed that he so chooses for that night.
Coach O, living the American dream.
You
know, his life really did, like, once he won a natty, like, his life just...
That was the peak.
That was it.
Yep. I mean...
The thing is, he was a failed head coach before that.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd been a coordinator under Lane ever since he failed at Ole Miss. Because, you know, they coached together at USC under Pete Carroll, and he brought him over. And then... Coach O just kind of, wherever Lane went, that's where he went until they got to USC, and they named him the interim. And when they named him the interim, obviously they didn't retain him, gets hired, I think as a defensive coordinator at LSU under Les Miles, and then gets the interim tag. And in 2016, after he'd already got the job, they were ready to fire him.
Well, he did a great job at USC as the interim because he said there's some story about how upset he was over not getting the job because he felt like he deserved it. And the record reflect that he did. But then when LSU, he got the LSU job, he said it was like God teaching him a lesson, I guess.
I mean, the thing with LSU is, like, that's where he's from. Like, that's probably his dream job.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, that's just like if Tennessee were to offer me the head basketball coaching position, obviously, I'd take it.
Yeah.
If I were a coach.
You know, Coach O is just a great motivator. I feel like it's like, you know how when he won the national championship, he gave full control to Joe Brady and the other guy, Steve Ensom or whatever his name was. He just gave them full control of the offense. He didn't butt in, and whoever ran their defense, he would just kind of let them do their thing. And, you know, that was Pruitt's downfall, just trying to get involved in too much.
Well, and that was why the 2012 offense at Tennessee was really, really good under Bray, Justin Hunter, Cordarrelle Patterson. The entire offensive line went pro. I mean, that's the thing is, Dooley during the offseason, he said, we're going to throw the ball. You can do whatever you want. Gave all the reins to Jim Chaney. And look what it produced. A really good offense.
Yeah, it kind of makes me wonder. I think...
makes me wonder what would happen if Justin Wilcox had stayed.
I wonder if how much control, or not Heupel, Golish actually has. Because I don't think he calls the plays, do you?
I don't think he does.
He's just a figurehead.
Pretty much. I mean, y'all have heard the story, too, about Jeremy Pruitt against Vanderbilt his first year.
Yeah. Playing Madden in real life.
I mean, Coach Helton was up in the booth, basically just on Twitter.
Yeah, like, what do you do in that situation?
I mean,
chill on your phone, watch us get annihilated?
Yeah. I mean, that's all he did. That's all he could do. What else was he going to do?
Here's a little breaking news before we get out of here. 34 minutes ago.
What do you got?
PFF College on Twitter said Cade McNamara will transfer to Iowa per Pete Thamel.
I got more breaking news for you.
What's your more breaking news?
Chris Felica leaving ESPN for Fox.
The fake bear?
The fake bear. The diabetic fake bear.
Ah, he's leaving?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
What'd they do, offer him a bunch of churros?
Probably some Twinkies and...
Yep, so Cade McNamara is out of the transfer portal.
You know that man can't shop at Belk.
Tennessee putting out a 3-minute and 30-second video pushing Hendon for Heisman.
I mean, he's got to at least get an invite, right?
They won't, though, unfortunately.
Man, the way that stuff is controlled, not just the Heisman, the college football playoff committee is another deal, but the way that a lot of these things are run, it's just baffling. It's all corrupt. And we were wondering when the college football playoff would get political, when politics would finally take place, and it finally happened when they let Bama, who didn't even make it to the SEC championship game, in, which resulted in them winning a national title. I think that's when it really started to get the politics involved.
I'd argue Ohio State getting in after playing six games all year.
That was another one.
Yep. Yes.
That's going to do it for us. Thank you, Davis.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
Something else coming up right here on WKGN. Tune in tomorrow for 3 and Out right here on Fan Run Radio.